sat very still while Father broke the bread and ate the meat, a luxury we enjoyed only on Shabbat. When Father had eaten his fill of the meat, vegetables, fruit, and bread, he stood and walked away, allowing me and Mother to share whatever remained. Then we would go to the synagogue, where Father and I would go, since Mother never left the house when a bruise marked her face. I would walk behind Father through the winding alleys of Jerusalem, careful to avoid the potholes and mounds of manure in the street. I made a game of remaining in Father's shadow, for I'd be in trouble if he turned and found me missing. When we arrived at the synagogue, I would sit with the women while Father took his place with the men. He usually sat down front, and when the men prayed, I could hear his voice above the others. I would lower my head and put my fingers in my ears because I frequently heard that same voice cursing my mother or declaring her fat, lazy, and stupid. Sometimes that voice demanded to know why he had agreed to marry such a sow, and at other times it declared her the ugliest woman in all Judea. My mother was not fat, ugly, or lazy, so she didn't cry when she heard such insults. But she seemed to draw inward, shriveling like a worm in the salt jar, until little remained of her but a pair of hands and feet destined to do Father's bidding. While sitting in the synagogue, I would lift my gaze to the ceiling and wonder how Hashem and my Father became connected. They must have been close, for Father prayed every morning with great gusto and never missed an opportunity to speak to the Torah teacher. I would listen intently as the teacher spoke of how Hashem parted the Red Sea and massacred the pursuing Egyptians to set our ancestors free. I learned about how the Master of the Universe consulted Abraham before destroying everyone in the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how he strengthened Joshua to rid the land of Canaanites so that we, the children of Israel, could live in the Promised Land. The creator of the universe, the teacher said, had a plan and purpose for everyone. Hashem sounded as if he were as strong as my father and every bit as angry. I resolved never to do anything to displease my father or Hashem. I obeyed every command and answered every call. In Father's presence, my thoughts spun like a dancer as I tried to guess what he would want next, find ways to keep him calm, and think about how to prevent him from beating my mother. I did not always succeed. When I brought him figs instead of bread, or when I put his slippers by the window instead of the door, Father would notice my mistake. "How could you have borne such a worthless child?" he would say, turning to Mother. He would strike her, and Mother would gasp and slide down the wall as I took a deep breath and stepped into the trembling space between them. If all went well, Father would go out, leaving us alone to ponder our offenses. Later, when Mother found her voice and the marks faded from red to purple, I would curl up next to her on the pallet and whisper, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." She would murmur that I had nothing to be sorry for, but her voice carried no weight and her words no meaning. If I had been quicker, smarter, or more pleasant, I could have made him happy. And a happy man had no reason to fight. Like fronds from a palm tree, the years of my childhood fell away, one after the other. Mother and I knew our places and clung to them. She belonged at home, while I belonged in the market stall Father rented. There I sold my mother's cheeses and helped keep starvation from our door. Father, of course, belonged everywhere, for he was a man, and men, Mother told me, were prone to wander. One morning my friend Miriam and I were walking to the market when a young man stepped into our path. With one glance I knew he was dangerous. He wore a short linen tunic and the silly hat favored by so many Hellenes. The Jewish youths who followed the practices of the Seleucids who ruled this region. Though this young man was old enough to sprout a beard,